A man, 91, dies waiting for the will of God. Tupelo, Mississippi, Walter Houston, described by family members as a devoted Christian, died Monday after waiting 70 years for God to give him clear direction about what to do with his life. He hung around the house and prayed a lot, but just never got that confirmation, his wife Ruby said. Sometimes he thought he heard God's voice, but then he wouldn't be sure, and he'd start the process all over again. Houston, she says, never really figured out what his life was all about, but felt content to pray continuously about what he might do for the Lord. Whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back because he didn't want to disappoint God and go against him in any way, Ruby says. He was very sensitive to always remain in God's will. That was primary to him. Friends say they liked Walter, and he seemed not to capitalize on his talents. Walter had a number of skills he never got around to using, says longtime friend Timothy Burns. He worked very well with wood and had a storyteller side to him. I always told him, take a risk, try something new, and if you're not happy, but he was too afraid of letting the Lord down. To his credit, they say, Houston, who worked mostly as a handyman, was able to pay off the mortgage on the couple's modest home. So just in case you didn't recognize that, that is from a satirical website called Lark News. It's not actually a true story. That little story is both funny and sad. And it's funny because it's a ridiculous scenario, but it's sad because it's too true in our lives. People say, I just want to know God's will. If I just knew God's will, then I would do it. You ever said that? I just want to do God's will. And so today is the day. We're going to find out today what God's will for your life is. Are you ready? It doesn't sound to me like you're ready. So here's one key to knowing God's will for your life. And this is the key, is to admit in advance, whatever God's will is, I'm going to do it. Whatever God's will is for my life, I'm going to do it. Are you ready to make that commitment? Raise your hand. If you say, I'm ready to do your will, God. Just tell me what your will is. Okay. We're going to take a look at what God's will is according to God's word. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not willing, that's his will, not willing for what? Any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So it is God's will for you to be saved. That's God's will for your life, is to be saved. God isn't slow, but he's waiting and waiting. He is patient for people to repent. And there have been people that have, this is a good move in football, is to stiff arm somebody. But in obeying God, it's not a good move. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you said this morning, I want to do God's will, if you're not saved, here's a thumbnail sketch of the plan of salvation. You sinned, and you can't ever be good enough to be right in God's eyes. And so God sent Jesus as an example and as a sacrifice for your sin. When you believe that and receive that gift of sacrifice, then you are right with God and have eternal life. And you can pray that right now. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you have not done that and you say, I want to obey God's will, I want to do that, would you pray with me right now? Just pray this. God, I have sinned. I recognize that I'm not good enough to be right in your eyes. I believe you sent Jesus as my sacrifice for my sin. I receive that gift right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did that, grab that connection card in the seat pocket in front of you and circle the D that you decided today to do that. That's God's will. First and foremost, you need to understand that's God's will for your life. But there's more. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. It is God's will for you to be holy. And it means, obviously, stay away from sexual sin. No sexual sin. But there's more to being holy than simply that. When we talk about being holy, we tend to get an image like this image up here of St. Thomas or St. Matthew. See that glow? Haven't you known people that were so holy that they actually glowed? Yeah, me neither. That is not what it means. You can click off of that image. That's not holiness. That's simply a halo. You see, holy is not spelled H-A-P-P-Y. I don't know if you know that. There are people that say, well, doesn't God want me to be happy? No. Nowhere in Scripture does it say it's God's will for you to be happy. God wants you to be holy, and there's some good stuff that it's in God's will, so don't be scared. But we need to understand what it means to be holy. The idea is holy means set apart to be used on a mission. 2 Timothy 2:4 helps us understand that. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. That's being holy. So that's like being on a protection detail for a visiting dignitary. And your job is to scan the crowd and look for threats, right? And that's what you're doing. But then, you see an old friend. And you haven't seen him for years. And so you start chatting it up with an old friend instead of doing your job. And somebody attacks the visiting dignitary. What's wrong with that? You got distracted and you're not doing the mission you were put there to do. That's what it means to be holy. I see myself on this planet on mission. God put me here for a reason. God put you here for a reason. You're on a mission. And your life is different than my life and is different than his life and different than her life. We're all on a mission and we work together on that mission. That's what it means to be holy. There was a lighthouse on a rocky coast. And it was a long time ago, and they used oil. They burned oil in that lighthouse at night so people could see it. And one evening, there was a knock on the door of the lighthouse, and this lady came to me and said, please, sir, please, I have no oil for my lamps and my house is dark. I know you have plenty of oil. Can you give me some oil? And so the guy that ran the lighthouse, man, his heart just broke for this lady. He said, of course. And he gave her some oil. And then a couple of days after that, a guy came by and he said, listen, he said, I need some oil for this wheel is squeaking and it's going to wear out and I can't afford another one. Can you give me some oil? And so he gave him some oil. And then a couple of days after that, A guy stopped by and he said, listen, I'm working hard, but I don't have enough money. My house is so cold. If you could give me some oil, I could be able, you know, to keep the house warm. And so the man in the lighthouse gave him some oil. And then a couple of days later, in the middle of the night, runs out of oil in the lighthouse. And the light goes dark. And a ship runs into the rocky coast and people drown. The guy in the lighthouse was not being holy. He had one purpose for that oil and he got involved in all kinds of things. Friends, that's what we do when we're not holy. It's not that everything that's not holy is sin. It's just that we get distracted by other things that are not right. And so we need to see ourselves as set apart for special use. For example, you're at the furniture store and you're looking for a new couch. And, you know, you have something in mind, but your spouse wants something completely different. And you can't agree on anything, right? And you go to the furniture store, no, not that, no, not that. And you can't agree, and then you find the perfect one. It's amazing because both of you love it. And so we say, oh, we're going to buy that. And you go up to look at the price, and it says, reserved for Henry Smith. And what? You can't buy that because that's holy. That's set aside for somebody else. In fact, we have holiness that happens here. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen it. See, before the service, we have coffee and donuts. But every now and then, I find the donut back in the kitchen. And it's set apart for somebody special, isn't it, Sam? And I know not to touch the donut, because that donut is holy. It is set apart for special use, for a special person, right? That is what holiness means. You get it? Get it? Good. All right. It is God's will for us to be holy and to live like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Why? For this is what? God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, then this is God's will for your life. Number one, be full of joy. That's God's will for you. This does not mean happiness. Joy is a defiant mindset. Terrible things can be happening around you, but joy is a defiant mindset. It's a focus on the promises of God. And you defy the circumstances around you to control you. You focus on the future reality of God's promises. That's what joy is. And then Paul says in there, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Never stop praying. And I know you might say, but what if I get a phone call? Right? Well, you pray. Have you ever done that, praying while you're talking to somebody? I do that a lot because a lot of times people ask me questions that I don't have answers for. What, should I make them up? No, I'm having a conversation. In fact, it just happened the other night. We were talking with an individual who's going through some really difficult things. And it was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We prayed for him. And I'm praying the whole time I'm listening, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to use me in this situation. I had an amazing thing happen. Friday night, I ran into a lady I hadn't seen for a while, and she told her son, this is Ken Chupp, shake his hand. And he was like, okay, that's weird. And we shook hands. And then she reminded me of something I completely forgot. Her son was going through a dark season, and he was at a place in Fort Wayne, and they were coming home, and they stopped at the Starbucks here in Warsaw. And I saw him in the parking lot, and she said, would you pray for him? And that was a turning point in his life. I completely forgot about that. And I prayed for him, and he's doing well. Now, I was like, oh. See, always, always, always be praying and finding out what God wants you to do. Why? Because you're on a mission, because you're holy, right? Never stop praying. And then be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. Be thankful in, not for, but in those circumstances. Be thankful. So it's like if you lose a job, you could say, God, thank you that you have something better for us. Thank you for this job that is provided for us for these many years. Thank you that we can depend on you to provide for us. Thank you for the friends and family around us. Thank you for the joy to make it through this season. Being thankful to God is acknowledging that God is your source. When I'm not thankful, I begin to think, I did it by myself. When I'm not thankful, I begin to think like, I got it together. When I give thanks to God, I'm acknowledging, God, you gave me the strength to work so I can get this job done, so I get that paycheck. God, it all goes back to you. You're the one that gave me life. God, it's all you. Thank you. And so we need to give thanks in all circumstances. These are God's will for your life. Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And there's a similar passage in John 13, Jesus speaking. So now I'm going to give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, love each other. For your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This is a command, and it's God's will for you to do it. It's God's will for you to obey it. Love each other. Love each other. Love isn't a feeling. You can't command a feeling. Be sad. Be happy. Feel alone right now. You can't command feelings. What Jesus is talking about is an action to work at for the best of other people. And sometimes to love someone is to say something you don't really want to say, right? And sometimes to love someone is to do something you really don't want to do and help them out when you've already helped them 47,000 times already. Love is doing what's best for the other person. Love each other. That is God's will for your life. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority. What does that mean? He's in charge. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. We are to make disciples. That is God's will for your life, to make disciples. And basically, that means to spend time with them to help them become more like Jesus. We spent 3 months earlier this year taking a look at discipleship, so I'm not going to spend a long time with that now. It's taking time to be with people to help them be a passionate follower of Jesus. That's God's will. 2 Timothy 1:1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by how? Chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life He has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. This is also repeated in Colossians 1:1, 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul said, I'm an apostle by God's will. And so Paul had a purpose. We have a purpose. Live your purpose. This was Paul's purpose. Live your purpose. Some of you may say, well, I don't think I have a purpose. I can prove it that you do. Try this. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God said about David, when his purpose was over, he died. He fulfilled his purpose for that generation, and then he died. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God has you here for a reason. And in the rest of this series on navigating God's will, we're going to take a look at how you figure out what that purpose is. But you have a purpose. Live that out. Then in John 7:17, Jesus is speaking here. He says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. How will they find out? You will find out. How do we find out? Well, it's God's word he's talking about with you. If you fulfill his purpose, if you live according to God's will, you will have power. God's word has power. So live with power. God has life-changing power. If you choose to do his will, you will find power. Power, and you need power to do God's will. That is why living outside of the will of God is so exhausting. Because living outside of the will of God is exhausting because you don't get power from God to do that. You have to use your own power. But when you live in the will of God, He gives you power. You got a choice. You can live on your own power, or you can live with God's power. My choice is I'm gonna go with God's power. That's my preference. That's what I want to live with, because I've seen that work. Here's the bottom line. God's will is more focused on your heart than your feet. God's will is more focused on your character and who you are than where you go with the rest of your life. And you may say, but doesn't God guide us in specific directions? Yes, of course, but it starts with the heart. See, God's will wants to affect our character and who we are at the very core of who we are. And once he has that right, then he can direct us wherever he wants us. And we will be there, and we will be obeying, and we will have power, and we will make a difference. He's got to start at the heart. And we're going to get into God's guidance as it relates to God's will in previous sections. There's a slide up here that will give you a next one. There we go. You can go to Pull Everywhere. If you have a question, what does God's will have to do with X, Y, Z in your life? If you have a question about God's will, I want to include that in the rest of this series. So you can go there. This slide will be up after the message, and you can click on that QR code and ask any question. By the way, that is anonymous. That's why I set it up that way. You can actually talk to me face to face. But if you say you want to ask something and you're afraid, I don't want anybody to know I'm asking this question. You can do that way. And nobody will know. So that's an opportunity for you. Now, go back to that highway. That's God's will. You want to know what God... See, we have a tendency to think that God's will is a tightrope. Right? We have a tendency... That is not God's will. That is God's will. We get our heart right. We live holy. We live with joy. We live with power and purpose. And God said... You know, you have freedom. I count, there's 20 lanes of traffic there on each direction. Not a lot. That's just awesome. I could have so much fun on that highway. Sorry about the other people on there, but that would be fun. And that is the way God wants you to live your life. God, I have come that you may have fear. Wait, no. Is that what Jesus said? I've come that you may have life and life to the full. God says, I've got this whole thing laid out before you. Get your heart right and I will direct you. And you don't have to be confused in traffic. You have this internal GPS called the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you, and you can have fun on that road. There was a young man who was going to be an auto mechanic. And he was going to go off to school in another state. But about a month before he was supposed to leave for school, he changed his mind. And God started working on that young man. And... for a number of years, he struggled. And he hit obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. But he learned to pray, he learned to read his Bible, and he learned to obey. And when his heart was ready, God revealed his will. And that young man followed that will for his life. That young man is your pastor today. Not young anymore. But Friday night we were at the Bethel Missionary Church where Diane and I went when we were first married. And they are celebrating 150 years as a church. And went there and was able to say, it was right down there on the side of the altar where I knelt and answered God's call on my life. Oh, how did I know God's call on my life? We'll get into that as we go through this series. And I'm so grateful that I made that decision then. And God, I look back now and I see how God was whittling away at who I was to make me who I am. It's been an adventure. I've been roadkill on that highway a couple of times. But God's been faithful. And I want that for you. You're here for a reason. not just in this service, but here on this planet for a reason. And God wants to use you to do something that right now is beyond your capability of understanding. But it starts with us saying yes. Yes. Would you stand with me? The title of the message is 90%. Because what we looked at this morning is 90% of God's will for your life. You get this 90% right, and then God is going to help you with that other 10%. Start with the 90% and go from there. Let's pray together. Father, we surrender this morning. We give up. We give up trying to do things our way. We give up trying to figure out and understand everything before we obey. Father, we're just going to obey. Father, make us holy. Help us to live holy. Father, if there's sexual sin in our lives, we repent right now. Father, help us to live holy. Help us to always be praying, to always have joy, to be thankful in all circumstances, to use every opportunity to make disciples and to love others and to serve them. Fathers, we want to do your will. So we commit to the 90% that we looked at this morning. We commit to that. Hold us accountable. Bring friends around us to hold us accountable, to live for you, and then watch what you're going to do. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.